Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. They slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And that's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. You can keep your Bible open as we'll try to read some along as we bring this thought. But you'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 4 of 1 Samuel that Israel, when they had went out, they had pitched beside Ebenezer. It was a place named Ebenezer. And Ebenezer means stone of help. Stone of help. It's a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our Ebenezer. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, you can say, is our Ebenezer. Our Father in heaven gave us a stone of help. Now they were there, and the Philistines were, they pitched in Aphek. It was a fortress. That's what it meant, fortress. It was a huge fortress. But Israel pitched next to Ebenezer, the stone of help. And rather than being behind a fortress, they believed that the stone of help, are you listening to me, was more help to them than a walled city or a walled fortress. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that. Now, there was a problem, though, with the children of Israel in the way that they had viewed in going into battle with the Philistines here. And thinking about Ebenezer, the stone of help. That's what I'm focusing in on tonight. Ebenezer, the stone of help. You'll find it here in verse 1. You'll find it in the very next chapter, verse 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And then the last place that you'll find Ebenezer is in chapter 7 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now, when I begin to think about this whole story, and you have to understand a lot of what is going on. Samuel has been established as a prophet of the Lord throughout all of Israel. He had been young. He had been raised in the temple with Eli the priest. Eli the priest had gotten old and his eyes had begun to wax dim. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, that did not serve the Lord. And they did not obey the commandments of the Lord. You know all about Hophni and Phinehas and the sin of Hophni and Phinehas. But Samuel, because of the sin of Hophni and Phinehas, and because that Eli, the priest, would not stand against the sin of his own sons, God called little Samuel. And God told Samuel there was going to be a prophecy and what was going to happen to Eli and to his sons. They were going to die. Now listen, this prophecy, I believe that it was told Eli in chapter number 2. And he knew what was going to happen if he did not turn the temple and his boys unto the Lord. And he did not. But so now we have Samuel. He is a established prophet in chapter 3 in verse number 20. Samuel was established, excuse me, to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now it was in Shiloh where that God had dwelled most. It was out of Shiloh that the prophecy would have been made about Christ till Shiloh come. Talking about the presence of the Lord, the manifested presence of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Shiloh was a very important place in the spiritual picture of Israel. It is the dwelling ground of God. Now, until all that Israel had sinned and had the temple destroyed, that God had finally moved the center of worship and the temple up to where? The city of David. Up to Jerusalem. And that's where we know as the city of God to this day. But sometimes I wonder what God could have done at that first glory in Shiloh, Brother Dave, where the temple was, where the ark was kept, where the presence of the God was, where the prophecies of the Lord coming. There was so much wonder about Shiloh when it came to the people of God and God himself. But in chapter 4, now I'm sure a period of time has gone by. Samuel is not just a little bitty child anymore. He's growing up some. I don't know exactly how old he is here, but the word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of Samuel came to all of Israel. They knew, because he had been established, that God was with him. Now Israel went out against the Philistines. It's amazing that we don't hear what the word of Samuel was to the children of Israel. I know exactly what it was because he gives it to them again in chapter number 7. It's something that the children of Israel had always faltered on, and what hindered them in battle on this day against the Philistines. Now look at the verse number 1 when you look at that. Just pray for me. I've got some scratchiness in my voice going on. I think it's probably sinus issue happening right now because of allergies. I don't believe I'm sick, so don't nobody run out the door. But look at what the Bible says, how that they Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. In Aphek. Now Israel was beside the stone of hell. And the Philistines, they were in their place, Aphek. They were in their fortress. And I thought about that how that you and I are in Christ. And there are people that want to be outside of Christ, beside, instead of in. Are you listening to me? But and this Ebenezer, it was a place. It was a place. It was a town or a city. So they could have been in Ebenezer. Are you listening? It didn't have to be that they were in a rock, but it was where that stone of help was, in Ebenezer. But they could have been in Ebenezer, but they were beside Ebenezer. Beside Ebenezer. I noted that. The Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten. Now, I thought about this stone of help, and when you look at this battle, how the Israel was smitten this day, and the Ark of God was taken. And what is the Ark of God? It was that Ark that God had given the very one that God had given Moses and the children of Israel the design. And they built it there in the wilderness. Am I right? Laid of gold, made of acacia, that wood that just does not perish. It does not rot. And they overlaid it with gold. Their Aaron's rod that budded was inside. And the commandments that had been broken was inside. That same ark that God had commanded only the Levites to carry with staves. It was not supposed to be carried by animals. It was to be carried by the Levitical priesthood. Those men, nobody touched the ark. They used staves to go through the rings on both sides. And they had priests in the front, priests in the rear that lifted up the ark. There was one man that died. Why? Because in the days ahead, they would try to carry it on a new cart, and it would stumble, and he tried to stay the ark with his hand, keep it from falling. And because he touched the ark, God smote him. Now, the children of Israel had finally come to a place they were going to get the ark back. What had happened? It was that God of that ark, the God that his presence dwelt around the ark. You see, listen, they looked at the ark as if it was the power of God. It was a thing that God allowed his power to work through and God's presence come around. But that ark ain't God. Are you listening to me? That ark ain't, listen, it was a symbol of the presence of God. That's all it was. And they had put their faith in a symbol and not in their God. Because Israel had not been serving the Lord. The Bible said that they had served other strange gods. The Bible lets us know that they had went after Ashtaroth. That was a heathen god. But yet they still expected when they hauled that ark in that God would work for them. And isn't that the way people are today? People want God to work for them when they don't reverence him. Listen, I'm talking about having an Ebenezer stone tonight. And what is our Ebenezer stone? What is your Ebenezer stone? And how does an Ebenezer stone work for us? Amen? I mean, that's what we're talking. I mean, it's a stone of help. And the ark, they thought, was their Ebenezer stone. They thought, that's where we'll get help. We'll get help in religion. We'll get help in that ark. Regardless of how we're living, what we're doing, we'll bring the ark. Well, God had commanded them, if you serve me, if you keep my commandments, if you love me with all the heart, then I will fight for you. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he promised? He'd deliver them. He did many great and mighty works. Why? Because Israel had turned to God with the whole heart. Their heart still was not turned. Listen, an Ebenezer stone, if you want to look at it, is a thing that would cause you and I to turn to the Lord. Now, it was also used as an altar place. They had found over there in the where they were going against the Philistines after this, a place where there was a huge stone. No doubt they wanted a helping stone. And there they sacrificed to the Lord. And so an Ebenezer stone is a sacrificing stone. It's a place of sacrifice unto the Lord. Now they're starting to come around. But here's what they missed out. Even though they had made a sacrifice unto the Lord in chapter number 5. The Philistines, I don't want to get ahead of myself. They had had some big trouble with the Ark of God. They thought they'd take that Ark of God and put it with their gods. They had hold that Ark captive away from the Hebrews. And that God would maybe be with them in their midst. Well, they were just a bunch of heathens. They didn't recognize God or keep His commandments, but they found themselves in a heap of trouble. What happened to those Philistines? Well, the Bible says that God had smitten them with emrods. Everybody knows what that is. I mean, buddy, he smote them sore. Amen. And it had something to do with also mice that God must have sent in. They must have transmitted part of that disease to cause the Philistines to have those emrods, because when they were going to sacrifice back to God, they said, "We need to get this ark back to the Israelites. Get it out of our hands." And they knew that they was going to have a trespass offering, because they had trespassed against the Lord. So they made golden emrods and golden mice. There were 5 lords of the Philistines that served, that went against Israel. And those 5 lords, they had 5 emrods and 5 golden mice. And that was what they were going to, they put it in a little box and put it up on the cart where the Ark of God was. So they got it out of their hands and sent it back to the children of Israel. Now what did the children of Israel do? They rejoiced. They rejoiced. They welcomed the Ark back. They welcomed it back. And The cart came into the field of Joshua, verse 14 of chapter 5. Joshua, Beth-Shemite, there stood where there was a great stone. See, they were looking for a helping stone, a stone of help. They were looking for a place they could sacrifice unto the Lord. And listen, that's... what an Ebenezer, listen, our Ebenezer stone is a place where you and I can pray to the Lord. I'm giving you a spiritual application, and I hope you see that. I mean, I know guys that carry a stone around in their pocket, and they'll squeeze on it when they're maybe meditating in prayer. Maybe the devil starts to war their mind. They go to that Ebenezer stone and begin to pray. It's a place where they feel like they can pray. So that's what the Israelites were looking for. A great stone. Not just a little stone, but a great stone. A great helping stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kind a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the Ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth-Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. They said, "They've got it. It's out of our hands. We're out of here." And these are the golden emeralds which the Philistines returned for a trespass offering unto the Lord. For Ashdod one, for Gaza one, for Ascalon one, for Gath one, for Ekron one. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of fenced cities and of country villages, even under the great stone of Abel, whereon they set down the ark of the Lord, which stone remaineth unto this day in the field of Joshua the Bethshemite. That great helping stone that's still there. And he smote the men of Bethshemesh. Why, Brother Mark? Because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Bethshemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God?" So I see the children of Israel trying to understand in their carnality how to get to the proper place to where they can actually find help. In Ebenezer. It's a helping stone, a stone of help. Listen, our Lord is a foundation stone, a help stone. Amen. The chief cornerstone. But you have to come before Him in the right way to get the help that is there to be offered. They sacrificed, that was wonderful, but they looked in the ark. God smote them for looking in the ark. They couldn't understand why everything had happened the way that it did. Now who can stand before this holy Lord? God had showed them in days gone by and told them in days gone by, no doubt in chapter 4, verse 1, when Samuel had spoken to them, he told them what they must do. They wouldn't do it. We'll get to that. Whom shall he go up from us? Now in chapter 7, the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eliezer and his son to keep the ark of the Lord. Well, there's a first right step. They needed sanctified Levites to care. Sanctified men, men set apart to take care, to watch over. Just to make sure it's not stolen. Make sure it's not violated. Make sure more men aren't peeking in. It came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. 20 years it took Israel to figure this out. How much time was wasted? How much time that they could have been enjoying their Ebenezer, enjoying their help, amen, from the Lord. We waste a lot of time as God's children. Sometimes weeks, months, years may go by. Us just trying to get to the place where God has wanted us all along. To be able to walk into Ebenezer or next to Ebenezer to find that place. You know, when I thought about this, a helping stone is a... When I look back at the earlier chapter, Eli had died because he had heard the ark was taken. It was an awful time in Israel. And the Philistines, you know, they had slew Israel. Well, Eli's one son, Phinehas, was about to have a son. His wife was alive when they heard that the ark was taken. And that woman was going to die in childbirth. When she was about at her death, she named the child Ichabod. The glory is departed. You know what our Ebenezer is? It's a place, or even in our Lord and Savior, time in a way that gets us through an impossible looking place. I mean, here the ark was gone. The priest was dead. The Israelites were slain, or fixing to be slain. The glory had departed. You talk about a dreary place to be in. But there's a place for help. There's a place for hell. There's an Ebenezer stone that you and I can get to. Amen? Think about that. I tell you what an Ebenezer, it's when it worked. It's God, all God wanted from them. All that Ebenezer, listen, stone, it wanted to be the main stone. God wants to be the one God in our life. Doesn't want to be shared. Doesn't want us to be half-hearted, serving other gods, strange gods. Doesn't want us living in sin and immorality. If they would just serve God, that stone of help would work. Would have saved them a lot of problem. That's what an Ebenezer stone is. A stone that will save you a lot of problems. If you'll let it be singular. Just the one God that we serve. Now in chapter 7 again, I'm trying to wrap this up. After the 20 years, all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Now they're beginning to cry. They're beginning to miss the Lord. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. See, they must not have seen Ashtaroth as a strange god. But he was. He was not the God of heaven. And prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. I believe chapter 7, verse number 3, is exactly what Samuel told them in chapter 4, verse number 1. Before they ever went to encounter the Philistines the very first time. Why? But you say, how do you know that they were Phinehas? Listen, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest boys, they wasn't even serving God. The priest, he'd let the light in the house of God get blown out. If the leadership was in that bad a shape, how in the world could you not imagine that the rest of the nation wasn't in as bad a shape or worse than they were. No doubt the word of the Lord came to Samuel. No doubt he told them this very thing. The thing God had said even in the days of Moses, said it in the days of Joshua. Now he's saying it in the days of Samuel. If you return unto the Lord with all your heart, put away the strange gods from an Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Serve him only. He will deliver you. It works. Amen. An Ebenezer stone is a stone that works every time. It's the right plan. It's the right stone. Amen. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, notice, after they did that, Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. This is a place of covenant. I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, drew near, poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Why? Why? Because they had, time in past, been slaughtered by the Philistines. Even though they had a Samuel, even though the ark was there. But the difference is now they've turned their heart to the Lord. Before they hadn't. Our hearts being turned to the Lord makes all the difference in our Christian life, in our walk before the Lord. In the power of God working in our life. Whether our Ebenezer stone is truly a stone of help. Have you ever felt, why ain't the Lord helping me? Where's your heart? Where's my heart? Now I know there's a big difference between our Lord and the way he works today and this Ebenezer stone and the way that God worked with the children of Israel back then. I understand that. I know that. Thank God. Thank God that he is. But these things were written for our learning. Samuel took a sucking lamb, offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. They were smitten before Israel. Israel didn't pick up one sword. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. It was only after God had completely discomfited them and put them to flight, then Israel followed after to finish the job. And look what the Bible said. Verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lord, our stone helps. The Lord, our stone helps. I don't think Samuel found a stone that big. I think Samuel found a stone that was going to be there. However he moved it, but he put it between Mizpah and that other place. Something that would recognize the Lord is our stone of help. The Lord is our stone of help. Stone of remembrance. Stone of remembrance. Many times the children of Israel stacked up stones. Stones of remembrance, and stones of for markers. This stone was for that they could remember that the Lord is our help. The Lord is our help. Think about what all they did. Listen, they did a lot of things right. Wrong way, because their heart wasn't in it. We can come to church, we can tithe, we can sing, we can go to Sunday school, we can do a lot of things right, and if our heart is not turned to the Lord wholly, where does that leave us? I feel like I don't have a stone. I feel like I don't have an Ebenezer when I get in that shape. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you just... you're missing out. 20 years. That ark was right over there in Kirjath-Jearim waiting. It was there close by. Close by. God is always nigh us. Close by. Waiting for us. That's why that ark stayed in that man's house there for 20 years. It could have left there after 20 days. If they would have turned their heart. What about that? Amen. Well, bless your heart. Thank you for listening this evening. Let's all stand.